Good morning. If we could just open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the love that you've given to us. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I just pray that everything that will be said this morning will be honored to him, that you'll give us boldness and courage to stand up for you and to live a life that's pleasing and honoring to your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you would, please turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. This morning we're going to be looking at standing up for Christ, standing up for God. I think this story kind of parallels what we're going through as a country, even though the people in this story here have been brought into exile from Judah to Babylon. I feel like our country is kind of taking a slide toward, we're going away from God, away from the Bible. I can see it as a school teacher at school, just from teaching for about the past 20 years, that there's differences at school. We're blessed here to still have a Bible program, to be able to have Fellowship of Christian Athletes. But there are many things in the schools that I can see have gradually gone against the Word of God. So I've seen it there. I've seen our political system and the things, the laws that have been put into place, laws that are saying that sin is okay, especially the last few years. I'm thinking about abortion. I'm thinking about homosexuality, things like that, that people are starting to cave into and saying, well, that's okay, don't be judgmental. And I want to, this morning myself, to be bolder to make a stand against sin and be able to stand up for Christ. So if we will look at Daniel chapter 3, and hopefully we can get some encouragement to stand up for God and to stand up for Christ. Starting at verse 1, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. And that's 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, as soon as all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews who have you appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made." Well and good, but if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire? They answered and said to the king, True, O king. He answered and said, But I see 4 men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the force is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not any power over their bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's commands and yielded up their bodies rather than to serve and worship any god except their own. Therefore I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn from limb, and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. If you will, look at back at chapter 3, verse 1. This is a little nugget that I got from studying this passage. Verse 1 says, King Nebuchadnezzar made up an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Never really thought about this, and just kind of read over it on why this image was made of all gold. Why was it all made of gold, and never really put a connection together. If you will, just turn back a page to chapter 2, verse 28. This may be the reason that it was made of all gold. Chapter 2, verse 28, this is a familiar story as well about Daniel interpreting the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 28 says, But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, the secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image, the great image whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image of its feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Then the iron and clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. "This is the dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you the ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom, inferior to yours, then another, and a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, as much as iron breaks into pieces and shatters everything. And like the iron that crushes, that kingdom will break into pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to the other people. It shall break into pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Here we see that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he had this statue that was erected, and he was represented as the head of gold. But then we see that there were other kingdoms. His kingdom was going to fall to another kingdom, another kingdom, another kingdom, and finally our Lord and Savior would come and set up a permanent kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years, and he would rule forever. But what I'm thinking may be possible is that I don't know how much time from chapter 2 to chapter 3. But I know that was on his mind. And then all of a sudden we see in chapter 3, we see this idol, this statue made of pure gold. Remembering that in chapter 2, it was said that Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold. So we can see, we think of people here on earth that have power. They don't want their power to die. They want it to go on forever. So just maybe he made this idol, this statue out of pure gold to try to thwart God's sovereign plan where that his kingdom would last forever. So we see that he made this of all gold, and he wants all the people. He brought the Hebrews in, a lot of the rich, wealthy Hebrews to come in and to help take care of the people that he had brought in from Judah. And I'm sure from other countries, we see it's all different languages. And he's trying to bring them all together here in unity and worship this idol. And maybe to try to have his kingdom last forever. So that was just a thing that I picked up that possibly was on his mind, that he was wanting a kingdom that would last forever and try to do away with God's plan. Okay, then if you'll look at starting with verse 2. What I want us to think of here is to be able to stand up for Christ no matter what. We see here in verse 2, let me go back for a minute, that he brings them all together. He has all this music to come together, all these people, and I want you to try to imagine thousands and thousands of people out here and worshiping this 90-foot-tall idol, and they're surrounding it, and he's wanting them to all bow down when they hear this music all at one time. He's trying to promote unity, that he's in control, and that everybody's going to follow what he says. We know that the Hebrews have come from a position where they know what idol worship is. They have been involved in it before. And matter of fact, that's why they're there at this time, because they were in idol worship. So I'm going to just show you a little bit of the history of the idol worship that the Jews had been involved in. If you will, turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. We see how important this is to God. This is the first two of the Ten Commandments, starting in Exodus 20, verse 3, that Moses brings down on the tablets from the mountain. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. So we see here that these are the top two out of the Ten Commandments, that God is a jealous God, that He didn't want anybody else to be worshipped, to be bowed down to, only Him and Him alone. And I'm going to go through a few verses here, and if you can turn to it, that's fine. If not, I'll read them. Exodus 20, 23 says, "You shall not make gods of silver to be with me, nor shall you make for yourselves gods of gold." And then we see that He makes these commands in just 12 chapters over. In Exodus 32, we see the Israelites and see what they're involved in. Moses has gone up on the mountain to talk with God, to get the Ten Commandments. He's gone for a period of time. The Israelites start getting restless, wondering where Moses is. And then we see what happens in Exodus 32, verse 2. "So Aaron said to the people, 'Take off the rings of gold that are in your ears, that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me.' So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go down, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you." Then skipping down to verse 25, "And when Moses saw that the people had broken loose, for Aaron had let them break loose, to the derision of their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, 'Who is on the Lord's side? Come to me.' And all the sons of Levi gathered around him. And he said to them, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, put your sword on your side of each of you and go to and fro from gate to gate throughout the camp. And each of you kill his brother and his companion and his neighbor.' And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And that day about 3,000 men of the people fell." Skipping down to 33. "But the Lord said to Moses, 'Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. But now go, lead your people to the place which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in this day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them.' Then the Lord sent a plague on the people because they had made the calf, the one Aaron had made." We see here how much sin, God hates sin. God hates when we give our hearts to something else, someone else, something else besides Him. Moses had been gone for a period of time. They quickly turned away from the Lord and wanted to make an idol to bow down to. I know today in our lives we don't really have maybe a golden image that we bow down to, but sometimes I think of the way we get involved with the world, that being a part of the world, things that we can get for ourselves, that can become an idol to us because we're so focused on what we can get for ourselves and not as focused on bowing down to God and living for Him. So we see that God hates sin and here that He punished it severely. If you turn over to Numbers 25, we'll see one more example of this. Numbers 25. What I'm trying to show here is the background that the children of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had come from. That this wasn't new to them, this bowing down to idols. They had seen this, heard about this, read about this, and now they were being asked to fall into this sin again. Numbers 25, verse 1. While Israel lived in Shittim, the people began to whore with the daughters of Moab. These invited the people to of their sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel yoked itself to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, take all the chiefs of the people and hang them in the sun before the Lord, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. And Moses said to the judges of Israel, each of you kill those of his men who have yoked themselves to Baal of Peor. And behold, one of the people of Israel came and brought a Midianite woman to his family in the sight of Moses, in the sight of the whole congregation of the people of Israel, while they were weeping in the entrance of the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose and left the congregation and took a spear in his hand, and went after the man of Israel into the chamber and pierced both of them, the man of Israel and the woman, through her belly. Thus the plague on the people of Israel was stopped. Nevertheless, those who died by the plague were 24,000. So we see here another example how the people had their heart was not committed to the Lord, that they quickly went off and fell into the people here and sacrificed to their gods and committed sexual immorality with the women there in Moab. And we see that God punished this severely and quickly, and ended up 24,000 died because of this sin. So if we can see that sin is serious and how God looks at sin, and think about what our Savior had to pay for us, to die on the cross for us, then we would be more able to stand up when it comes to that point, when we're challenged, when we have peer pressure to step into sin, that we can think about the cost of our sin and we can stand up and put a stop before we get involved in it. If you will, look at the prophecy that this was all foretold. God foretold this through Jeremiah the prophet, what was going to happen, that they were going to be delivered into the hands of the Babylonians. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah chapter 1, this is another way you can get your confidence in God, by looking at the prophets, the prophecies that we see here and how they came true, that we know that the word of the Lord is sure and the word of the Lord is true. Over and over again, the prophecies that came true. Jeremiah 1:13. The word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north a disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord, and they shall come, and every one shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls, all around, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will declare my judgments against them for all their evil in forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. So we see here that just recently Jeremiah had been preaching, telling the people to turn from their sin, to do away with these idols, worshiping these idols. The people refused to do it, and the prophecy came true. King Nebuchadnezzar came in and overtook Judah and took many of the people back to Babylon with him. So we see here that God takes sin seriously, that it's going to be punished, and we have the decision. If you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, then you're going to have to pay for your sin. Or you can accept the free gift of faith in Jesus Christ, and He's bore the sin for us on the cross. Okay, now if you'll look at verses, go back to Daniel. So we see where the background of these Jewish young people, they say they were probably 14 to 17 years of age when they were taken out. This may be a few years later, but they were young men. I think of our young men here, young men that are in at Rockingham County High School, the temptations that they have out there. And how I heard the other day, we were talking about young people going off to college. And we were talking at school, me and some of my friends, and they said that they felt like that when the young people left for college, that it was almost automatic that they would turn from the Lord, that they would go and experiment and do different things and then maybe hopefully come back to the Lord. And I said that I didn't think that was true, that I thought the Lord could keep them through the temptation. They did not have to get involved with the world, that they could stay true to the Lord. They could find Christian friends there at school that would help them and encourage them in the Lord, that that was not an automatic thing that they had to fall into sin. And we see here an example in the Bible how these three young men stood up and did not fall into that. 16 through 18 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Okay, I'll just give you a couple examples of the God they're talking about. Just that little phrase right there in verse 17. If this be so, our God. Who were they talking about? Our God right there. Who did they know about? In Genesis 17:1, and I'll just read these. You don't have to turn to them. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will give you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. Going down to 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. And this is a kind of play on words, but Sarah delivered because of what God did. God delivered. He delivers us. And here, God, through a miracle, 90 years old, Sarah delivered Isaac, the chosen one. And God is able to do that. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I believe, knew about this God, knew about the God of Abraham. Then also just remind you about the God of Moses, the one that took them out of Egypt, that was able to take them from Pharaoh, that sent the plagues, and was able to get them out of Egypt and take them all the way to the promised land. Even though Moses and the people sinned against God, God was faithful, and he brought them right there. And then later, after all of them had died, he let two of them, Joshua and Caleb, bring them in to the promised land. So God is able. Remember what they said. Our God, if this be so, our God is able to deliver us. 1 Samuel 17:34 says, But David said to Saul, Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defiled the armies of the living God. And David said, The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, Go, and the Lord be with you. Verse 46 says, This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. This is the God that they were thinking about. Our God can deliver. The God of Abraham, the God of Moses, now the God of David. We see the kind of God that we serve, that He can deliver us through these temptations, these trials. Psalm 27:1 says, "Of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So we really don't have anything to fear because God's on our side. He's either going to deliver us through this trial or temptation, whatever it is, or He's going to be with us through it. He's going to take us all the way. And we know ultimately, no matter what happens to our physical bodies, we're going to be delivered. If we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, He's going to deliver us to the gates of heaven to be with God forever. Okay, if you go back to Daniel 19 through 30. I was going to try to play this today. We don't have the internet, and I wasn't sure if it was quite appropriate, but I listened to it, and it touched my heart. I know this man that I'm getting ready to tell you about lived a life that was not always pleasing to the Lord, just like myself. But he's a famous country singer, Johnny Cash. Some of y'all may have heard this song. It's The Fourth Man in the Fire. And it's talking about the man that came when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown into that fiery pit, on how that fourth man protected them. And many people believe, it doesn't say for sure here, that that was the pre-incarnate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was there. So let's just look at 19 through 30. Let me skip down. I won't read the whole thing. Verse 26, "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High, come out and come here.'" Excuse me, let me go back to 24. "Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, 'Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?' They answered and said to the king, 'True, O king.' He answered and said, 'But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like the Son of God.' Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here.' Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire." And we see here that Christ, God, no matter if it was an angel or it was, which I want to believe that it was the Son of God, Jesus Christ, delivered them from that fire, that we know that our deliverer now is Jesus Christ. He can deliver us unto salvation because of His sacrifice for us on the cross. That we don't have to go through the fires of hell because of what He's done for us. He paid the price. He felt the pangs of hell because His Father had to turn His back on Him. And He took that punishment for me. And just like these young Israelites, these young Jews were protected from the fire, we don't have to go through that. There's no condemnation to those that know Jesus Christ as Lord. So now we can go into the gates of heaven because of what Christ has done for us. That fourth man in the fire had protected them. So as we can see, to sum up, sin, idolatry, is a grave injustice, a grave sin against God. There is no man, no thing, nothing that can compare with God, our Father, with the Almighty God. So we need to remember to focus on Him, not focus on things that we can get, things of the earth, things of the world, but put our affection on things above, not on things of earth. Just like these three young Hebrews were willing to make a stand, they knew what kind of God they served, a God that could deliver. We know our Savior can deliver because we see in Scripture that He rose from the dead, that God was pleased with Him, and He arose from the dead so that we can stand up for Him because we know the Savior that we have. He is the one that can deliver. So what I'm trying to remind myself is that sin is serious, that I need to stand up against temptation, that I have someone to stand up for in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is one that we should be willing and honored to stand up for. He stood up for me on that cross. He hung up on that cross for me. So through my life, I should be willing to stand up for Him. If you could, just turn in your red hymnal to 456. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in His glorious day. Ye that are men now serve Him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger. I have a feeling that our courage is going to need to rise in the coming days. That danger, being willing to stand up for Christ, is going to be dangerous. And just pray here, like this song says, that our courage will rise with the danger and strength to strength oppose. And remember, our strength and our courage comes from Christ. Verse 3 says, stand up for Jesus. Stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You. We thank You that You care for us. We thank You for this example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We thank You that they looked back at the God they served, a God that could deliver. Our Father, we look back on that cross of Calvary, and we know that trusting in Jesus Christ, in Your Son, will deliver us to the gates of heaven. We thank You for that. We thank You for Your love. Help us to stand up for Christ. We see that there's a battle raging, that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but principalities of the air, the devil and his demons. Give us strength. We cannot fight on our own, but we ask that You give us the strength to be able to fight the battle, that we'll stay in Your Word, that we'll cling close to You, that we won't have idols of the world and the earth, but we'll just trust and look to You as our one and only true God. I just pray that You'll help each one of us to live a life that's honoring to You, and that we'll fight the battle for You that You have fought before us, that we can be a part of, that we can make a stand for You and lead others to Christ by making a stand to show people that we're different. Pray that You'll help us with that. In Jesus' name, amen.